Baseball greats Cal Ripken Jr. and Tony Gwynn got the call to Cooperstown today, but much of the interest in this year's ballot for the Baseball Hall of Fame centers on a player who did not get elected, Mark McGwire, the man who broke Roger Maris's record and one of the top home run hitters of all time. He's the first major steroid suspect to become eligible for the Hall of Fame. There's no proof that McGwire did anything illegal, but he refused to address the issue in testimony before Congress and has vanished from public view afterwards, which led many baseball writers to believe he may well be guilty. And baseball writers are the people with votes for the Hall of Fame. The McGwire controversy not only shadows overwhelming first ballot elections of Ripken and Gwynn, but the candidacies of longtime hopefuls like relief pitcher Goose Gossage and slugger Jim Rice. If you have a question about the vote, give us a call, 800-989-8255, or send us an email, talk@npr.org. Joining us now from our bureau in New York is our baseball pal Alan Schwartz, who writes for Baseball America and the New York Times and podcasts for ESPN. Happy New Year, Alan.
Well, thank you, Neil. It's great to be here again.
And before we get caught up in suspicions, let me begin by asking you about two indisputable all-timers, Tony Gwynn and Cal Ripken.
Well, it was wonderful to see them elected with landslides. Somehow six people did not vote for Cal. I'm not sure how. But in any case, Cal Ripken, of course, won two MVP awards, played in 2,632 consecutive games, and really stood for a lot of the virtue in baseball and a lot of the good things that baseball represents to a lot of people. Tony Gwynn, meanwhile, a five-time batting champion, had a batting average, a career batting average of, I think, .338, five gold gloves in right field for the San Diego Padres. He played in a small market and yet had the eternal respect of his peers and anyone who watched him. Also had a lot to do with the onset of video use in baseball. So each of those guys overwhelmingly elected and overwhelmingly deserving as well.
And when you say video use, to study his swing and opposing pitchers, not necessarily look at the highlights.
Oh, exactly. Yes. Although he certainly created enough highlights of his own, but he would carry around VCRs and tapes and decks and all sorts of clunky equipment on plane flights. He would carry it himself in order to study at-bats on the plane and in the hotel when the rest of his teammates were, you know, drinking or playing cards or whatever. He was there studying up for the next day.
And you mentioned how some people could not bring themselves to vote for a Cal Ripken or a Tony Gwynn. At least one writer said he sent in a blank ballot because he couldn't believe anybody from the steroid era until he had more information. And so even these overwhelming elections are stained by the steroid problem.
Well, I think no one has ever been elected unanimously anyway. Tom Seaver received 98.83, I believe it was, percent of the vote in 1992, and he has the highest percentage ever. So some people, you know, did not believe that Tom Seaver was somehow eligible. People get a little weird on first ballots for Hall of Famers. They feel that almost no one is deserving of being a first ballot guy. Joe DiMaggio wasn't even a first ballot Hall of Famer, of all things. So you can't take the voting too seriously, I think, as an aggregate. There are 545 ballots. As an aggregate, they fairly represent the reputations of the players among most writers, but there are always going to be those outliers who mess things up.
Mm. We're talking with Alan Schwartz about the election today to Baseball's Hall of Fame. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And I mentioned that Mark McGwire was the first major steroid suspect to appear on the ballot. I should say that also Jose Canseco, who implicated Mark McGwire, was also on the ballot.
Yeah. Well, Jose Canseco, though, has rarely been viewed as a deserving Hall of Famer in the first place. He did hit a bunch of home runs, but he didn't have the length of career that McGwire did, and Gwynn and Ripken and other deserving players, people on the fringe like even Fred McGriff or Rafael Palmeiro. So I don't think Canseco would have been anywhere close to the 75%. I don't think he would have even gotten 40 had he had no steroid suspicions whatsoever.
And how many votes did Mark McGwire get?
Mark McGwire received 128 votes for a percentage of 23.5. And, of course, I'm only one person, but I think it's I think it's overwhelmingly likely he would have reached the 75% required had none of this ever happened. He didn't have quite the slam dunk career that many people think. He had 583 home runs, which is seventh all time. He had the 70 home runs in 1998. There's no question about it. Mm-hmm. But he had a very low batting average. He had a really very bad middle of his career. The beginning and end of his career were both very good, but the middle was not. So there were some demerits on his career long before the steroid implications. However, I'm positive he would have made it pretty easily had none of this taken place.
Mm-hmm. Let's get a caller in. This is Nate. Nate with us from Kansas City.
Hi. I had a comment about the candidacy of Bert Blyleven, and I didn't know if his his candidacy is alive and kicking or getting better, or I think I'd read that one sports writer changed his mind and decided to vote for him, and I'm wondering what Mr. Schwartz has to say about him, because I think he's been underappreciated for what he had to offer.
Sure. Well, for those people who don't know Bert Blyleven, he was a longtime right-handed pitcher, mostly for the Twins and Rangers and Pirates, and then a bunch of teams later. He was very good for a long time. He was never necessarily elite, but he was very good for a long enough time where he amassed 287 wins, which is very close to the magic 300 mark. He had a 3.31 ERA. He pitched for a lot of bad teams. He was an excellent pitcher. He was rewarded for this with 260 votes, which is 47.7%, which is far below the 75% threshold, but it is enough to suggest that he might garner enough support in the next several years. A lot of people, like Bruce Sutter last year, have climbed from the 30 or 40% level to reach the point where they are elected. Why this happens is a whole separate conversation, but Bert Blyleven is generally considered the modern pitcher with the closest resume for Cooperstown, who probably will never make it. It doesn't mean he was bad. It just means he wasn't quite elite enough.
Yeah. Nate, thanks very much.
Uh-huh.
There's a whole bunch of people who were right on the fringe of election last year, like Goose Gossage, the great reliever for any number of teams, and Jim Rice, the slugger for the Boston Red Sox. Andre Dawson, a lot of people had. Next year, there are no great names on the ballot for first time. Is that next year the year that some of these players might get in?
Yeah, I'll be very surprised if Rich Gossage does not get in next year. I was a little surprised he didn't make it this year. He was 21 votes short. And relievers, specifically Bruce Sutter last year, they always climb up about 5%, and then they make it on a year when there aren't quite as many big names there. It happened with Bruce Sutter last year. This year, a lot of people voted for Ripken and Gwynn and thought, you know what, I'm happy with three or four names. I'm not going to put Gossage on this time. Now, again, why a guy can go on or off the ballot from one year to the next, we can spend another segment on that. But I'll virtually guarantee that unless he testifies before Congress, Rich Gossage will be inducted into the Hall of Fame next year. He was an outstanding relief pitcher.
Let's see if we can squeeze in one last call. Steve is with us from New York City.
Hey, my biggest concern is the guy who has the most votes while he was eligible from his active career, and then the most votes as an old-timer, Gil Hodges, 370 lifetime home runs. When he retired, he was the all-time leading right-hand batter in the National League.
I don't mean to cut you off, and manager of the Miracle Mets.
That's right, 1969, first baseman for the Dodgers. And what happens to those old-timers now? When do they get reconsidered? They still got a crack at this or not?
Well, there is the Veterans Committee, and I believe that the Veterans Committee this year, I'm speaking off the top of my head, is electing, if they're electing anybody, they will be announced, I think, February 28th. Hopefully Jeff Adelson isn't hearing this and freaking out, but I think that's what it is. And so I believe that Gil Hodges is on that ballot, along with other old-timers like Ron Santo and some other folks who didn't make it in the 15 years of their normal baseball writer's eligibility, but then can be elected through the other door. Joe Torre will easily get in that way when he retires as a manager.
Steve, thanks very much for the call. And Alan, I guess it's not too many weeks away before we hear that magic phrase, pitchers and catchers report.
That's right. I just booked my flight 6 weeks from today.
Alan Schwartz is our baseball pal, a writer for the New York Times and Baseball America, podcaster for ESPN, with us today from our bureau in New York. Alan, thanks very much.
It's always a pleasure, Neil. Take care.
This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan.